Good morning. This is such a wonderful celebration this time of the year. We've gone from Christmas to Easter, and all of this is symbology of an inner journey that we all make, a wonderful journey. Yesterday, I got some emails from some very dear students who sent me excerpts from Joel, and one was sent to me that hit the nail right on the head. And this is from 1958, where Joel says, "No one may rightly become a practitioner or teacher of spiritual truth until, in some measure, he has undergone the experience of crucifixion, resurrection, and has finally turned his or her steps in the direction of the demonstration of the ascension. No true student may hope to experience spiritual health, spiritual supply, home, or harmony in human affairs until she or he too, in a measure, begins to study, practice, and demonstrate the principles behind the events of Easter." So we have resurrection. We have crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. These are the three strands. Joel says in the Wisdoms, when there's nothing left to pray for, the crucifixion is over. Think about that. When there's nothing left to pray for, the crucifixion is over. That doesn't mean you're satisfied with what you feel you are or what you see, but it means that all of your problems are self-imposed. And they're there because you are asleep in the dream, the Adam dream. And all through the Bible it says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you life." So this is quite a shock to us when we thought that God gave us something. But God has already given us Himself, His consciousness, His life, His truth, and His love. There's nothing more to give us. And this givingness appears in many forms, and we must not seek the form, we must seek the essence of the form. So that when we know that we do not have to seek the form, but we have to seek the substance of all good, we're beginning to be awake. And there is nothing left to pray for, because we know that all we have to do is silence the human thinking, silence human desire, and direct our attention to the Father within, who does the works and gives us everything without praying for it, without asking. We ask only when we're not awake yet, fully awake, but when we have nothing left to pray for, the crucifixion is over. And you know when it's over because you won't have any desire. You will have instead an attitude of anticipation of what is going to unfold next. What's going to happen? How is the shift going to take place? And we watch this shift, and it removes everybody from our life that isn't right, and it brings everybody in that can be blessed, and it's constantly moving. This current of love and life and truth is always moving and changing. It's always changing the appearance world without our doing anything. And we begin to see little by little restrictions fall away. And what does that mean when the restrictions fall away? We're out of the tomb. What is the tomb? Personal sense that identifies with the body and with human history. That's the tomb. That's the box. That's the egg. You know, I remember Joel said to me after one of his classes, "Now you know, Virginia, which came first, the chicken or the egg?" The chicken. Everything in the kingdom of God is complete. It's all here. It's all now. Waiting to unfold, but it cannot unfold as long as there's personalization. Personalization is desolation. You are not your body. You are divine consciousness. You are life. You are love. And that life and love is truth. And when you keep remembering who you are, you stay on track. The minute there is a wish, a want, a desire, or fear, you're off the track. You're back in the box. You're back in the egg. The tomb, the stone is on the door of the tomb. Now, what can roll that stone away? Sometimes a catastrophe comes and it rolls it away. A place comes where we can't do anything. We say, I'm helpless. I can't do a thing. And that very situation is an opportunity where you can rest back and allow this divine consciousness to operate and reveal to you that actually life lives itself. You do not live it. You can't live life, can you? You can't grow yourself. Well, you could grow yourself old by worry and by having birthdays, but it's just an appearance. But life is living itself. It's you. It's doing it. God is doing it. Think of it. And love is, you can give all the love and kindness and joy that your capacity, and you'll find your capacity to give love and joy and peace and harmony is infinite. It's infinite. You don't lack anything, and when you start to live this way, heaven comes into your experience. The right job, the right recognition, the right companionship, the right everything. Health, harmony, wholeness are automatic. You don't pray for them. They're already there. But unless you awake from the dream, you're sleeping. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. What did he mean? Those that are asleep in the dream, they're not aware. They're not aware that the kingdom of God is within them. So, I've gone through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and hopefully, and somewhat, living in the ascension. And this is what it's all about. When we live on the level of the crucifixion, we're always writing the script. It's what I think, what I will, what I want. This is how we do it. You're writing the script. You're in the dream when you're writing the script. You might be writing a pretty good one. You know, it doesn't have to be bad. But you're still doing it. You're not living by grace. You're writing this script. So when you say, okay, I myself can do nothing, but he that is within me is greater than she that's in the world, and he perfecteth that which concerns me. He goes before me to make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. Then I begin to awaken from the dream. I'm a little bit awake. And I begin to see things happen that I didn't inaugurate. Good comes into my life. Good that has no evil opposite. A good that is grace comes into my life. Something I don't deserve and never thought about or didn't plan comes into my life, and I get recognition, I get reward, I get all of the perks that someone that beats their head up against a stone gets without doing anything. And who's doing the work? The Father within is doing the work. So when you begin to see that you're not alone, there is a he that is within you, a Christ, and it is an actual presence, and it is the only body there is, and our body is the image and likeness of that body. The symbol of this is the Christmas tree, where each limb on the tree of life is exactly like the tree. And so when you begin to see that there is a way of grace, you begin to die daily willingly. You begin to let go of all of your judgments and your condemnations and your criticisms, and you begin to be a beholder. My dad, I used to say to my dad, who was a very wonderful healer, I'd say, well, what do you do, Dad? What are you doing? He said, just watch the passing scene. Just watch it go by. There's nothing to do. It already is. You know, it already, God's here, God's now. This is the kingdom of heaven. It is within you. Don't interfere with it. Get out of the way, but be alert, be awake. So when I came here in 1963, when Joel was staying at home, I spent a month with him. And I'd had several very wonderful blessings that indicated that I was on the path, that I had an ordination, but I still was so uncertain of this way that I had no confidence in God's grace and the way it went. And I, Joel could read you very easily. So I was at a luncheon after we had heard him talk, and I was sitting next to him, and he said, "You must make a commitment." And I said, "Well, I have." And then when he started to talk, this was the talk he gave. And now it's been condensed in a little pamphlet, but it isn't the same as this. So I would say that you read this if you want it. And this is in the book, Man Was Not Born to Cry. So it says, he went on to say, when you first come to a spiritual study, it is only because some circumstance or condition in your life needs adjustment, and you have not found your completeness of life. You have not found your happiness, health, or some other aspect of fulfillment. But this was the point with me. I had a happy marriage, happy home. I had a happy life. I didn't know what I was missing, but I knew there was a missing link. I didn't know what it was. In other words, you're always thinking along the lines of improving your human affairs of your existence. But I didn't know what I could want for more than I had. For me, I had everything. I had a lovely home, modest, but I loved it. I had a lovely family. We were financially okay. I belonged to a church. I taught Sunday school. I had wonderful friends. But there was a missing link. What was it? I didn't know what it was. And so during your spiritual study, you will find some degree of improvement in your life. But I can assure you that you will never find all you're seeking humanly, because it does not lie within the nature of spiritual teacher to give you all the human good things you think you would like. But you will not find the completeness you expected on the human scene, even if you have everything. About the time you actually realize that it's never going to happen, you likewise perceive the reason, which is you've been praying amiss. You've been trying to improve this human existence, and that is not the message, the function of any spiritual message. So what is its function? It's that you can live by grace, that Christ can enter human consciousness and live through you. There is a living Christ, and it can do for you and for the world what no person, no matter how intelligent or how much money or how much influence they have, can do. This is a living presence. And it's tangible and real to our spiritual sense. And Our goal, then, is releasing the soul from the tomb of human existence. Now, we cannot experience the Christ through our mind or our body or through thought. We can only experience it through our soul. And so all of this, your meditations have been to open your soul so that the living Christ can take over your life. And you can say, I live, yet not I. Christ lives my life. That's the thrust of the Christian message and the thrust of the Infinite Way message, which is the biblical message. You remember that in the first chapter of Genesis it said, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And God made man in his image and likeness. Male and female created he them. And then it says, and God made them a living soul. Then a mist went up from the earth, and we have the Adam dream. So we are awakening from the Adam dream, from the knowledge of good and evil. We're removing the names and labels off of everything. We're not calling anything good, and we're not calling anything evil. We're allowing the Christ within our soul to interpret the universe for us. And when this Christ interprets the universe for us, we see it more as it really is. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here and it is now. And we can live in it. But we cannot mentally make it so. Our mind is an avenue of awareness for the grace of God to work through, for inspiration to come, for clarity to come. On the human level, we use our mind for reason. On the spiritual level, it's used for revelation. If we use our mind for revelation, who is going to reveal the truth? It's not going to be a person. It's going to be the Christ presence. And this presence is here and now to work in you and through you and as you to the degree that you can die daily to your humanhood, not to your intellect, not to your muscles and your body, they're all instruments for God, but to that who thinks it knows, that part of you that says, this is my will. This is the way I want it. This is how it's going to be done. No one knows God's plan. It unfolds moment to moment. And so there has to be a fluidity among us. Our mind has to be fluid. It has to be open. It has to be fearless. It has to be filled with poise and peace. So so that no matter what is hit at us, it goes right through us up to the Christ. And the Christ then comes through our transparency to meet the need. So this is our challenge, is to live in the resurrection, is not to patch up anybody or anything, but be a transparency. The mystic is a transparency for the Christ to enter human consciousness and dissolve the restrictions of material sense. To dissolve those restrictions, make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. So you can see that there was with me this state of hesitancy because there was no understanding of this. So in that moment, there was a moment when everything opened and I saw the living Christ, and it filled heaven and earth. And I was in it, and I was it, and yet I was still Virginia. I was a branch on the tree of life. And that's the same function you are. You may not have had that experience, but that is your function. If you're drawn to this message, then you are here to be a transparency through which this Christ operates. And it says, when I deliver you to the judge, I will put the words in your mouth. And after 30 years of lecturing, I have found that this to be true, that when you come to the platform and you're sitting in this position where you're a transparency through which the Christ works, the words will be put in your mouth. And when I saw this grand colossus and I realized that I only had to get out of the way, then I allowed Joel to put my name on the practitioner list, because I knew my own inadequacies, that I myself could do nothing. I knew that, but our soul is God, and we are a living soul. And when we meditate and we feel that wonderful peace, the mystical union between spirit and soul has taken place. And you feel that release, sense of life. You feel, And then the healing. Whatever the problem is, somebody asks you for, you've forgotten it, you're not interested in it. But they say, oh, I've been healed. Oh, thank you. That was wonderful. I was lifted. You had gone home. I think of this, when person calls me for help, that I go home to my heavenly rest, and I rest in the Lord. And then whatever is to be, will be. I don't give anybody a treatment. I don't think about them. I forget them as quickly as possible. So that when you realize this soul journey that you're taking, he said the soul is imprisoned in a tomb. That's what the tomb is the human mind. It's our tomb. And we're imprisoned in that. That we call the human experience, the tomb, the mind and the body. And if we are to experience our soul, we have to break through the limitations of the body and the mind. This the master called taking no thought for your life, but seeking the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the soul within. We violate this teaching by thinking of God or the soul as having the function of improving human life. That's not its function. Its function is to get you out of the human life into the life which is God. That's its function. To get you into the soul where you live without restrictions. Monetary, physical, any kind of restrictions. It's up to us. It's how much we will allow. How much will we allow God to take over our life? Sometimes we say, no, I want to keep this area, the vanity area. Maybe it's vanity. Maybe it's accomplishments. There may be areas that you want to keep out. Is there any part of your human experience that you want to keep? Even your ethnic background, you may be very proud of it. But you've got to let that go. Everything. You are the child of the living God. And you're here to show forth God's glory. You have no race, and you have no creed. You have no limitations. You have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And you are the living soul. So get out of that tomb. Let the stone be rolled away. You are not limited by anything. God has made you free. This is your freedom in Christ. Therefore, you have liberty without license. The Christ doesn't have license. But you've got liberty. All that I have is thine. Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is mine. So when you come up to limitation, don't accept it. Don't accept. When you look in the mirror and see that body, don't accept it. That's not me. As just an instrument in this parenthesis, I am a living soul. And I live and move and have my being in divine consciousness. And this lives my life. So you find that in many ways you have little in common with people. You're more or less a listener, but you don't listen with condemnation or judgment. You listen as a transparency. You listen and let it go right up to the Christ. Let the Christ take care of it. This is grace. When you live in the tomb, it's as you sow, so shall you reap. What you sow, you reap. Now, when you're out of the tomb, when you're living in the resurrection, in the eye, and you've lifted up that eye, which is the living Christ, then you are not making judgments. They talk to you, let it go right out. You can smile. and you can say, oh yes, well, I'll pray for you. But your prayer has been what? The non-power of the carnal mind. The nothingness of material sense. Because in the presence of God, realize carnal mind is not a power. God doesn't heal disease because God never created disease. Therefore, disease has no God ordination. God didn't create old age. God didn't create all the different varieties of human discomfort we see. God doesn't create poverty. Go out and count the blades of grass. If you have a problem of lack, go count the grains of sand and the grains of grass. There is no poverty. So dying daily means you're correcting all of those limited points of view that entomb you in personality. You're looking at him and letting him go. Looking at him and letting him go. Looking at him and letting him go. And pretty soon you find your purse is full. There's recognition, there's reward, there's invitations, there's opportunities to share. Whatever your gifts are, they'll be drawn upon. Why? Because personal sense is gone. You're out of the tomb. And that's what we're celebrating at Easter, that we've risen. We're out of the tomb of personal sense. When the soul is released, he says, God is incarnated as or in individual man. Man is not a slave, physically, economically, or mentally. The purpose of man is to show forth the nature of God. Man originally was intended to be the instrument through which, or as which, God lives on earth. This is the meaning of incarnation. God incarnated as or in individual man. Man is not meant to cry, and all his tears are shed only because of a sense of limitation. Every tear you shed is a proof of some form of limitation being experienced in your life. Man was not born to cry. Eventually, you will be released from this imprisonment by an act of grace. Something will happen to you. Not if you just sit around with your eyes closed and wait for it, but it will happen if you keep your thoughts struggling upward. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In quietness and in confidence is your strength. With these efforts you prepare yourself for the act of grace which will eventually set you free. You can see now why angels are pictured with wings. And the reason I speak is soaring thoughts, mountaintop experience, the lofty heights of consciousness. When soul is released from the tomb, it flies upward, not in time or space, but in consciousness. It is no longer anchored to the ground. It is no longer entombed in the body and in the mind. It is a soaring faculty. And that's our Easter, and we have it every time we meditate. We get out of personal sin. We have a habit of returning to the old positions that we've outgrown. We go back. And we have to be alert enough. That's, you see, when we do that, we're so asleep. We're mentally asleep, entombed in human history. And so as soon as we can dump our human history and be free of it, the quicker we soar. So the more dying daily to human history, we're all grateful that there has been progress in the human scene to respect every race and every creed. But let's not try to improve humanhood. Let's get out of the tomb and reestablish the kingdom of heaven here and now, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is heaven seen imperfectly. So what needs to be changed? Our eyesight, new eyes. New eyes, new ears. So the eye salve is our knowing the truth, putting on, opening our eyes, having eyes ye see not, and ears you hear not, lest you see and you hear. It's all it takes. Seeing, hearing. Seeing, hearing. What interferes with seeing and hearing is the old story. My story. Let's go with my story. The only story that's really relevant is what's happening right now. That we know who we are. That I and the Father are one. And in this oneness, all that the Father hath is mine. Now let me be still, Virginia, and let this glory express itself to itself and as itself. And so we are free. Go into that freedom. I want you all to live with the verse, I live, yet not I, Christ lives my life. And let this truth express itself and reveal itself in you and through you and as you. and watch the miracles in your life. Watch the old landmarks disappear. Watch a new sense of freedom. Not freedom from anything, but freedom in Christ. Let's always keep in our awareness that God's work is done. His kingdom is come on earth as it is in heaven, in the visible as well as in the invisible. God's work is done. And then we're not under any strain. The problems of this world will dissolve without our doing anything if we live in this consciousness that the kingdom of God is here and now. It's at hand. God's work is done. His kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to light candles. We don't have to say long prayers. We just have to be inwardly aware that human history, the human equation in us, is but the dream. And a dream is not a power. And it isn't a presence. And our inner silence will awaken those who are asleep in the dream, so that they too can inherit the kingdom of God, which is omnipresent. Our work is silent work. The knowing of the truth silently, sacredly, secretly, and knowing that all already is. And that we are living witnesses to this living truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Our position is very much like a lighthouse. A lighthouse really doesn't do anything but be the light. And if there's a storm at sea, why, the ships see the light and are saved. So be the light. Ye are the light of the world. Don't separate the structural sense of the universe from the spiritual, that there are two worlds. There aren't. There's only one world, and that's the spiritual one. The structural world we see is an interpretation of the spiritual universe seen through the limitations of personal sense. That's all it is. So the very universe we live in is an indestructible spiritual universe. It is the kingdom of heaven. And as we keep this in our awareness that God's work is done, His kingdom has come, we don't have to try to manipulate, use our mind to make things happen. We leave our mind free, and if on the human plane a new invention needs to come forth, that mind that is prepared to receive it will receive that new invention. Or if a new idea that whatever it would be, whether it would be a sense of harmony in human affairs, when you realize that this mind is universal and impersonal, then as you keep that inner awareness of this, of the completeness of the spiritual universe here and now, that awareness touches those who can do the proper thing at the proper moment, because there is only one mind, and it will open doors so that the evolution or the unfoldment that is necessary will come. And you can see the evolutionary progress that came after the Science and Health was written, and after Mrs. Fillmore started the Unity Church. When those women began to see the relationship of mind and matter as really two stages of one substance, and that mind was an avenue of awareness through which spirit works, then all these wonderful inventions in the last century have come forth. And they'll continue to come forth as we do this. They'll be more accelerated and more accelerated. Everybody knows this, and they won't have to be taught. They'll be awake. They'll listen. They'll discern what is the true and what is the false. And they'll be awake. So we got the benefit of all these pioneers that have gone before us. It's wonderful. So we're out of the tomb. Enjoy today. Chaos vision is here. See the Christ everywhere. It's all that there is, really. The tree of life. Thank you.